Scripture reading this morning will be Proverbs chapter 20, verses 5 through 9 in God's Word, the Bible. If you're willing and able, please stand for the reading of God's Word. A plan in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding draws it out. Many a man proclaims his own loyalty, but who can find a trustworthy man? A righteous man who walks in his integrity, how blessed are his sons after him. A king who sits on the throne of justice disperses all evil with his eyes. Who can say, I have cleansed my heart, I am pure from my sin? You may be seated. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we thank you so much for your word. Oh Lord, how rich it is. Lord, I thank you for the blessings and encouragement that it's been to me in studying for this message. And Lord, I pray that you would bless everyone here now by your word. Lord, we pray that as we look at your word, Lord, that we would come to know you more and more. Lord, that we would love you more. Lord, that you might give us more of an eternal perspective. That we might bring honor and glory to you. Lord, we thank you for your word. We ask now that you would teach us. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning we're going to look at these five verses in Proverbs. In verse 5, we'll see how blessed we are when we're not lazy about learning. And then in verse 6, we see how rare it is to have a true friend. In verse 7, we see what a blessing it is to have parents who followed Christ before us. And 8, we see the blessings of having a good king who upholds justice. And then in verse 9, we see how sinful and hopeless all of us are without Christ. So, we'll begin with verse 5. A plan in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding draws it out. Here in this verse, we're given great insight into how wise men learn. You know, sometimes we tend to think that the responsibility of learning is all on the teachers. It's all up to them. We often think that men learn when they sit under the teaching of good, skilled teachers. Teachers with great communication skills who pour out wisdom upon us. And while that is oftentimes true, that's really only part of it. Here we're given another very important component to growing in wisdom. We see the very important role that the pupil plays in learning. Now you've heard the saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. You see, you can have a stock tank full of fresh, clean water, but if the horse won't drink, if he's not thirsty, he won't benefit any from that water. And so it is also true that men can sit under the greatest teaching and not get anything out of it because they don't care to learn. They're not thirsting for knowledge. They don't desire to gain wisdom. You see, it's not all up to the teacher. It's not just a matter of Is the teacher wise? Or is it a good teacher? But is the student wise? Is it a good student? The verse begins a plan. Some versions say counsel. In the heart of a man is like deep water. What does this mean? You see, godly men have great counsel and wisdom within them, in their heart. But this is like deep water. In other words, it's abundant, but it's not always easily accessible. It's deep. There's a lot there. You see, a wise man's wisdom is not just a bunch of low-hanging fruit that you can just walk by and easily grab a hold of it. But their wisdom and counsel is like deep water. It's there, it's accessible, it's in abundance. But you have to search harder for it. It's like the fruit that's at the top of the tree. You can't just walk by and grab it. You're going to have to go get a ladder. You're going to have to climb that tree to get it. Then we see in the second half, but a man of understanding draws it out. You see, a man of understanding, he climbs that tree. He gets the fruit. He does his part in learning. He isn't just sitting back expecting to be spoon-fed. But he's thirsting for it. He's searching for it. He's asking questions. He draws it out. You see, this man doesn't need some great dynamic preacher in order to learn. If he has access to a wise man to learn from, this man of understanding will draw wisdom out of him. Matthew Henry puts it this way. He says, "We lose the benefit we might have by the conversation of wise men for want of the art of being inquisitive." In other words, we miss out on opportunities to learn and grow in wisdom, not for lack of wise men to learn from, but for our own laziness in learning. We see here that a man of understanding is not a lazy listener, but an active learner. He's actively engaged. He draws it out. You see, a wise man may not even be trying to teach him anything, but this man of understanding, he's asking questions. He's being inquisitive. He wants to learn. And so he draws wisdom out of him. So here in this verse, we see the importance of actively seeking to learn from others, drawing wisdom out of them. Now, this is important for all of us, whether you're a child at home learning from your parents, or whether you're here listening to a sermon. You know, I've heard people say before, maybe you've heard them say it before too, when referring to going to church or listening to a sermon, have you ever heard someone say, "I never get anything out of it. I never get anything out of it." You know, sometimes some of you tell me what a blessing the preaching of the word is. And it is. For many reasons. Certainly God's word is powerful. But also I believe that God's word is a great blessing to you, because you are prepared to receive it. You see, if you spend each week in sin and darkness, and then you show up here once a week to hear a sermon, you're probably not going to get much out of it. it will probably be disappointing to you. But when you're in God's Word throughout the week, when you're interacting with other believers, when you're having conversations of eternal things, maybe you're even reading ahead into what's going to be, into the text that's going to be preached on that next week. And then you come on Sunday. Of course, you will get more out of the preaching of the Word. So this verse is encouraging us to come prepared. Draw it out. Be prepared to learn. The emphasis here is not on teaching others, but learning from others. Now, certainly this verse isn't only talking about the context of teachers and students, but this is everyday conversations. Desiring to learn from those around you. So may God help us to draw it out. A plan in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding draws it out. Verse 6. Many a man proclaims his own loyalty, but who can find a trustworthy man? Here we see not only how dishonest and sinful we are, but also how truly rare it is to have a true friend. The verse begins, many a man proclaims his own loyalty. So we see bragging here, first of all, boasting. Proverbs 27:2 says, let another praise you, and not your own mouth, a stranger, and not your own lips. So even if you are a loyal friend, be quiet about it. Don't boast about it. We also see here that this boasting is very common. Many a man, most people, almost everyone, will boast about themselves, about one thing or another. And certainly, about being a good friend. And we see here what this boasting is about, their own loyalty. Many people boast of what a loyal friend they are, how true they are to their friends. They'll boast that they will never leave you, they will never forsake you, they will stick by you no matter what. Everyone likes to think of themselves as a good friend. Just ask someone. Just ask anyone. They'll be more than happy to tell you what a great friend they are. They'll probably have some stories to tell you, some experiences of things they've done for their friends to convince you of what a good friend they are. So many a man proclaims his own loyalty, but then we see the reality come out in the second half of the verse. Does this mean that all men are loyal and great friends? Certainly not. The second half, but who can find a trustworthy man? Who can find a trustworthy man? You see, although many proclaim to be loyal, and will even boast of their loyalty, the truth is they're not. Talk is cheap. As extremely common as it is to find people claiming to be a loyal friend, it is just as extremely rare to actually find a loyal friend. Now, certainly this is nothing new to us. As we've been going through Proverbs, you know, we've already seen numerous verses about friends, true loyal friends and fake shallow friends. In previous chapters, we've seen how many friends the rich man has as long as he's rich. and how the friends of the poor man leave him. And so we see in this verse really the same lesson. Although many people claim to be loyal friends, most of them really aren't. Sure, they'll be your friend, as long as being your friend has good benefits. But as soon as being your friend starts to cost them, they're gone. That's not a loyal friend. Good, true, loyal friends are extremely hard to come by. They are few and far between. So what is this verse teaching us? Don't boast. Be a good friend to others. Most importantly, I think this verse is teaching us, do not be deceived. Don't be deceived. Everyone who acts like and talks like they're your friend aren't your friend. It doesn't mean they're your friend. Don't be deceived. Anyone can say they will be loyal. Anyone can say, I love you. But you can't believe everyone. We see here in this verse that most people who proclaim their loyalty will leave you and abandon you in your time of need. They're not loyal. Oftentimes we don't really know what kind of friends we have until we're faced with difficult trials. And that is when we see whether they take a step towards us to help us carry our burden, or whether they take a step away from us to avoid any discomfort. But we also see in this verse just how rare it is to have a true friend who's loyal and trustworthy. And so, understanding how rare this is, we should be praising God for those people that He has brought into our lives who are true friends, who really do love us and care for us, even through the hardest times. Many a man proclaims his own loyalty, but who can find a trustworthy man? Verse 7. A righteous man who walks in his integrity, how blessed are his sons after him. Here this verse shows us that the blessings of a faithful Christian does not end with them, but the blessings of their faithfulness will still be felt by their descendants after them. A righteous man who walks in his integrity. This righteous man, this verse speaks of, is not speaking of a self-righteous man, but a man who is truly righteous with the righteousness of Christ. He's a born-again Christian living a changed life. He's walking no longer by the lusts of his flesh, enslaved to sin, but he's walking in newness of life. He's walking in his integrity. Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 15. This passage gives a short description of a man who walks in his integrity. Psalm 15, a psalm of David. O Lord, who may abide in thy tent? Who may dwell on thy holy hill? He who walks with integrity and works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart. He does not slander with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a reprobate is despised, but who honors those who fear the Lord. He swears to his own hurt and does not change. He does not put out his money at interest, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things will never be shaken. So a man walking in his integrity is living how Christ wants him to. He's doing what's right before God. Then in the second half, it says how blessed are his sons after him. Certainly we know that this righteous man walking in his integrity is a blessed man himself. But here we see his sons after him. They are blessed. This is speaking of the blessings upon the descendants of the righteous. Now these blessings are very numerous. Just a few of these blessings. Think of the role model that your parents are. You see, when parents love Christ and they walk in obedience to God, what a blessing it is to their children and grandchildren. What a blessing for them to get to see firsthand how to live, to have a godly example to watch and to learn from every day. No, not a perfect example, but a godly example. An example to see how to respond after you've sinned. An example to see how to repent. What a blessing. Blessing of reputation. You know, when your parents are known within a community as being Christians who walk in integrity, people who know them will trust you as well and treat you with favor, all because of your parents' faithfulness. Again, what a blessing. And legacy. Just as it's a blessing when parents pass on money to their children, in the same way, except way, way better, it is a blessing to have faithful parents who pass on a godly legacy to their children. What a blessing. Now, I don't want anyone to misunderstand. God has no grandchildren. You know what I mean. No one is saved because their parents are Christians. But at the same time, part of what this verse is speaking about, the blessing of having Christian parents. How can I deny that God has used my parents in a great way, playing a big role in bringing me to faith in Christ? They did. What a blessing to have righteous parents who walked in integrity before you. You see, the faithfulness of my parents, the direction that they led the family, the positions that they held, the way they walked in integrity through my upbringing. All of these things, it's shaped me, it's blessed me. And it continues to influence me even today. Now, you adults, I know, you all know this. And you children will know this more and more the older you get. What a tremendous blessing it is to have God-fearing parents. Amen, Caleb? Great prayer request. Praise God. What a blessing. What a blessing godly parents are to their children. A righteous man who walks in his integrity how blessed are his sons after him. Verse 8, a king who sits on the throne of justice disperses all evil with his eyes. Here we see the effects of a good king who rules well. We see evil is dispersed. A king who sits on the throne. First of all, this is not speaking of a lazy king who's just sitting on the throne. He's sitting back. He's enjoying being king. He's taking his ease. He enjoys being honored and pampered. That's not what's going on here. But he sits on a throne of justice. This speaks of what is important to the king. What matters to him is justice. A good king cares. He wants to make sure that justice is upheld. Everywhere, under his jurisdiction, in every case, he wants the victim to be cared for and the criminal to be punished. He does not want evil to prevail under his charge, but he desires to punish the wicked and reward the righteous. And we see in the second half of the verse how actively involved the king is in bringing justice to bear. It says he disperses all evil with his eyes. Again, a good king is not one who's at home taking his ease, just waiting to hear different reports from his men about how things are going. But a good king, he's not satisfied to hear about everything secondhand. He wants to see it with his own eyes. He wants to see firsthand what is going on. He wants to make sure that justice is being done. And this isn't a job he dreads, because he is passionate about upholding justice. He knows his duty is important, and he does it well. He knows when to delegate to others, and he knows when to check up on things, when to make sure that justice is being done. So here we see in this verse a good king enforcing justice. And when he is actively involved, when he's checking on things with his own eyes, evil is restrained, the wicked flee. You see, when people in authority will use their power as they ought to, they can do tremendous good and prevent great evil. A king is a minister of God whose duty it is to reward the righteous and punish the wicked. And what a great blessing it is to all the people when the king upholds justice. A king who sits on the throne of justice disperses all evil with his eyes. Verse 9. Who can say, I have cleansed my heart, I am pure from my sin? This verse makes two truths very clear: that all men are sinners, and that we are all hopeless if left to ourselves. We are hopeless without Christ. Here we see a question asked with such an obvious answer that it's much more of a statement than a question. Who can say, I have cleansed my heart, I am pure from my sin? No one. Absolutely no one. No one can say that they have cleansed their own heart, that they are without sin. We know from Romans that all men are sinners, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We know from 1 John that anyone who says that they're not a sinner is a liar. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So we're all sinners. We're all sinners. And this sin problem is not a problem that we can fix ourselves. Who can say, I have cleansed my heart? No one can say they have cleansed their heart. We are all absolutely hopeless without Jesus cleansing our heart. As we read earlier, Psalm 51, 3 through 10, for I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, I have sinned and done what is evil in thy sight, so that thou art justified when thou dost speak, and blameless when thou dost judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, thou dost desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part thou wilt make me know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which thou hast broken rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. You see, we're hopeless, filthy sinners. We cannot cleanse ourselves. But when God purifies us, we shall be clean. When God washes us, we shall be whiter than snow. This is not our work, but God's. Salvation is found nowhere else but in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. One thing I really like about this verse is that it lumps all of us together. You know, oftentimes you go through the Proverbs and a verse will have the righteous divided from the wicked. We'll say it will condemn the wicked for his foolishness and commend the righteous for their wisdom. And yet here we see in this verse, we're all there together. We're all there together. Who can say, I have cleansed my heart? None of us. None of us. We can't say that. No one can. We're all sinners, both the wicked and the righteous. None of us can save ourselves. None of us have any hope without Christ. Who can say, I have cleansed my heart, I am pure from my sin? In conclusion, may we praise God. Praise the Lord for giving us wise brothers and sisters in Christ to learn from. May we be encouraged to seek to draw out wisdom from those around us. Praise God for the love and faithfulness of true friends. How rare it is to have a true friend. And praise God for the godly parents He's given us. What a blessing! Praise God. Praise God for rulers and authorities who rule well, who uphold justice. What a blessing. And praise God for the reminder of where we are apart from Christ. Christ has dealt with our sin. He did what we could not do. He laid down His life. He bled and died to wash away our sins. He cleanses us. We cannot cleanse ourselves. We have so much to be thankful for. The Lord has blessed us. And yet, what a great reminder is verse 9, where we really are. This is us apart from Christ. What a great reminder of all that Christ has done for us. Let's pray. Oh Lord, Lord, we thank you for your love. Lord, we thank you for paying our debt, for laying down your life. Lord, for doing what we could never do. Lord, we are filthy sinners, but you have cleansed us, and you are cleansing us. Lord, we thank you for this reminder. Oh Lord, how quickly we can become prideful as you work within us, as we see fruit. Lord, help us to remember that this is the work that you're doing within us. Lord, we thank you for blessing us in so many ways. Lord, we thank you for true friends who stick with us, who are loyal, who love us, not just in word, but in action, in deed. Lord, we thank you for godly parents. Oh Lord, a scary thought of where we would be without them. What a blessing. Thank you so much, Lord. Lord, we just thank you for meeting all of our needs in all of life. We thank you for these instructions here this morning. Lord, we pray that these truths would sink into our heart and our mind. Lord, that we would think rightly as we go about our lives. Lord, that we would have an eternal perspective. Praise your name. In Jesus' name, amen.